I am very glad that all of you are here today. We have many visitors, and I certainly want to welcome you. And as was said earlier, you're very important to us. And I hope that our lesson today will be of interest to you. And if you have any questions about this lesson, please feel free to talk with me. And we will sit down and discuss this. You know, just yesterday, the day before yesterday, I received a phone call, and somebody talked to me about the issue of suicide. And I want you to know that that's a very important issue to me. And here's a couple of statistics about this issue of suicide. And I want you to look at this. Suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in the United States. That makes it important to all of us. In 2017, there were 47,173 people who died because of suicide, and there were 1,400,000 people who tried to commit suicide. This is in 2017. In Ohio alone, there were 1,740 deaths because of suicide. And I want you to think about that. It's not just the cost of suicide, which is astronomical, but it's the cost of a soul. A human soul, worth much more than any of those things. And as we get into the lesson, I want to remind you that suicide is a subject that is near and dear to many people. But it's not any more near and dear to anyone in this room than it is to me personally. And I speak with authority on this subject, not just because of God's Word, but I'm speaking to you from my own heart because I was one of those attempts. In 1985, I understood tragedy. I understood sorrow. I understood anxiety. And I knew what it meant to be depressed. And I knew what it meant to feel worthless, helpless, and hopeless. And because of those things, I found myself in the middle of a highway with my eyes shut, standing in front of a semi-truck coming at me. And I will tell you that I have a great admiration for anyone who is in that situation and can find their way out. My way out was Jesus. And to be honest, I don't believe that there's any better way. And so we want to heed that. And I want you to think about this. Much blame can be placed on the industry called entertainment. In the entertainment industry, I'm thinking here of a man named John McCollum, 19 years old, and in 1985, he committed suicide after listening to a song from Ozzy Osbourne called Suicide Solution. And when you look at this song, he says, "Now you live inside a bottle, the reaper's traveling at full throttle, it's catching you, but you don't see the reaper is you, and the reaper is me. Made your bed, rest your head, but you lie there and moan. Where to hide? Suicide is the only way out." And he's not alone. There are others. Teenage girl in 1987 committed suicide after listening to a song by Metallica's called Fade to Black. Look at these words here as he says, "I have lost the will to live in this song. Need the end to set me free. No one but me can save myself, but it's too late." And he says, "Death greets me warm. Now I will just say goodbye." Such desperation. And it's not just that song. In 2018, and I know you can't read all these songs, but I wanted you to see that in 2018, an internet search revealed 256 songs about suicide that are popular and listened to by people of all ages. Some of those songs, to be fair, are trying in their way to help people out of their dilemma. They're tragedy, but the majority of these songs are teaching people the way out is suicide, to kill yourself. That should be 256 songs, not 156. Now I want you to think of a question, is suicide sin? Well, if we look at the definition of suicide, this is what we read. Suicide, Merriam-Webster, the act or instance of taking life, intentionally, especially by a person of years or discretion and of sound mind, the action of killing oneself intentionally. When we look at this, the word suicide is derived from a Latin word, su, which means oneself, side, which means killing. What does that come to mind? Killing one's self. Suicide is an intentional self-inflicted death. And I want you to put these things together. The word suicide is never used in the Bible. But there are things that are revealed from God that we can glean from and understand this issue. Suicide is self-murder. In the scripture that was read in your hearing this morning in Romans chapter 13, Paul uses that word in verse 9 for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder. And I want you to be thinking about that. You shall not murder. And then think about what Paul did there as he summed up all this. And he summed it up saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. In this text from Paul, you shall not murder. You note carefully how he sums it up. Notice what happens if we make it personal. If we think of this, loving your neighbor as yourself, or maybe murder your neighbor or yourself. Make no mistake, suicide is sin. And there were people in the Bible who were faced with all kinds of troubles, and they reached a point in their life where they felt as though this was the only way out. The first one that comes to mind, obviously, was Judas, right? You look in Matthew chapter 27, verses 1 through 5, you read about Judas, how he had betrayed Jesus, now he's taking the betrayal money, the 30 pieces of silver back, and he throws it at the feet of the priest who wouldn't accept it. And what did he do? He went away and hung himself. He went and hung himself. We know from the book of Acts that he went home and hung himself. When I tried to end my life, I went home because it didn't work. And I locked myself in a room and I found Jesus. Jesus was in my room because my good wife gave me a Bible that I had no interest in. And I found Jesus. That was the way out. But look, we can compare Judas with Peter. If you'll remember in the book of Matthew chapter 27, Jesus has already told Peter that he was going to betray him 3 times. And of course, what did Peter say? As you look at that, you think about Peter. Jesus said, this day you will all be made to stumble because of me. As it is written, I will strike the shepherd. This is Matthew chapter 27, verse 31. And what happened there is you see a succession of Jesus and Peter. Jesus and Peter. And Peter says in verse 33, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Right. What did Jesus say? He said, assuredly, I say to you this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And then, of course, Peter says, well, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. But we all know what happened, don't we? In Matthew chapter 27, verses 69 through 75, Peter, being confronted about his association 3 times in verse 70, I do not know who you are, what you're saying. 72, I do not know the man. In verse 74, Peter began to curse and to swear, I do not know the man. And immediately the cock crew, the rooster, it crowed. And then what happened in verse 75 is astounding. Peter remembered the words of Jesus and how he had said before the rooster crows, "You will deny me three times." So what did he do? He went out and wept bitterly. The difference between Judas and Peter, though, is Peter had a chance to repent because he didn't kill himself. And that's one of the things that makes suicide sin, because murder is sin, whether it's self-murder, a neighbor murder, it doesn't matter who you murder, it's sin to murder. Judas hung himself. After you die, you have no hope of repentance. And without repentance, you cannot be saved. Peter, though, was able to repent. Remember in John chapter 21, Jesus asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" And three times he answered, "Yes, you know I love you. How can you ask me? You know I love you. You know I love you." Peter had a chance to repent. Life is never hopeless. You're never helpless. It's not as bad as some think. As long as we can learn to trust God. As long as you can look to Jesus. Suicide is often contemplated when one sees no clear resolution. Think of the Philippian jailer. You remember what happened there in Acts chapter 16 and 26 through 27? You look at that and you think about this jailer, Paul and Silas are in the prison. They don't know what's going to happen to them, but they're singing. There was an earthquake. The doors were opened. And this jailer who thought maybe they were all gone, pulled out his sword. He knew what was going to happen to him. He didn't think there was any way out. He knew that if those prisoners had been freed under his watch, that he would be cruelly put to death. And rather than face that torturous death, he pulled out his sword and he was going to take his own life. And Paul said what? You remember what Paul said? "Do thyself no harm. Do thyself no harm." That was Paul's advice. And rather than doing yourself harm because you don't see a solution, what we want to do is look to Jesus. See, Paul himself wanted to be with Christ. He knew that there was still much time for him in his life, and he committed himself to be with Christ. And he did the same thing for that jailer. He preached Jesus to that jailer. And the jailer heard and obeyed. He and his household were baptized, and they rejoiced. But Paul, he wanted to be with Christ. He realized that this life is difficult. In Philippians chapter 21, or Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 through 25, the apostle Paul says, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." To me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. And he goes on to say, "If I live in the flesh, what will that mean for my labor that I should choose what I cannot tell." He knew that he had to be in this world. He said, "I am hard pressed between two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ and to be with you. And nevertheless, to remain," he says, "in the flesh is more needful." Paul easily could have taken his life if he thought for 1 minute that he would be in the presence of the Lord. But he knew he had to remain. Because when you take your life, you leave other people behind you. Think about Job. Certainly Job had every right in the world, in the sense of the world's thinking, to kill himself, to commit suicide, or to have somebody euthanize him. He longed for death. But it wasn't the quality of his life that gave him reason to live. Remember, Job lost everything. He lost his children. He lost his possessions. He lost all the animals, servants. He lost everything. And when all that happened, what did Job do? It says he arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and he fell on the ground and worshiped. And he said, naked I came into from my mother's womb and naked I shall return there. The Lord God gave and the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. That's the right way out, to look to God. And to top all that off, Job's wife, I mean, Job ended up with boils from head to toe. Painful boils. He scraped those boils with shards. He was in a lot of pain. He was being agonized by his friends. And then when you take that, his wife said to him, why don't you just hold fast to your, why do you hold fast to your integrity? Just curse God and die. Well, there's an open door for Job. But what did he tell his wife? Listen, he said to her, you speak as one foolish woman speaks. Shall we indeed live and accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? And all this, Job did not sin with his lips. He had every reason to. And we say, what about Job? Why didn't Job just kill himself? He had all this loss. But it wasn't the riches that he lost. It wasn't the good times or the happy fun with his family. It wasn't the perfect days that made Job's life precious. It was the life itself that he had. And that's what we need to understand. Life is precious. God gave life. When Job talked about naked he came from his mother's womb, he says the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. He learned, like we all must learn, that there are many things that God does that we must just simply to accept in faith. Listen to what Job said. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I do not know. Listen please and let me speak. You said, I will question you and you shall answer me. I have heard you by the hearing of the ear. Now my eyes see you. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. He heard the Lord speak to him in the previous chapter, and God told him who he was, how powerful he was. And that makes us understand how little we are. And by the hearing is the same way that I came to know Jesus, the same way anybody here comes to know Jesus, the same kind of hearing through the power of God's Word that can raise you up out of depression, raise you up out of sorrow, raise you up from your sadness. It is God's Word that can guide you to the joy of the Lord and out of desperation. And if you have any feelings like that, you need God's Word. Let's talk. The Lord restored Job. Remember that? He restored him. He blessed him. The latter days of Job were better than the beginning. After this, Job lived 140 years. He saw children, grandchildren, four generations. And he grew old and died. Had Job killed himself? It just simply would have showed a lack of faith, and he never could have repented. Job was not the only one. The Apostle Paul did not allow physical disability to lead him to suicide in the depths of despair, but to the heights of faith. Think about Paul. And least I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, least I be exalted above measure. And concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. When I am weak, That's when God shows His strength. Paul said that at the very end. You see it? He said, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. When you're weak, God's the strength. He's the one that upholds you with His very hands. God is great. And He does great things for those who fear Him. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 through 6, the Hebrew writer says, let your conduct be without covetous. Be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? When I found Jesus, it didn't take me long to come out of that room. It didn't take me long to go out into the world. It didn't take me long to be lifted up in my spirit. Because I learned to be content right where I was. Things that I thought were insurmountable, the relationships that I failed with, myself, the feeling of worthlessness all went away when God told me that He loved me. When I knew that Jesus died for me, the fear went away. What can man do to me? Many astounding things have been accomplished by people who just won't give up. Think about Jesus. We don't have to resort to suicide. In Romans chapter 8, verses 37 through 39, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, shall, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate me from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. He said us there, but I'm saying me. Because that applies to me. Because I've turned myself to Jesus. You turn yourself to Jesus. And whatever you're going through, remember, He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's always right there with you. You're important to God. Make Him important in your life. Love Him. Everything of God, think about this. Everything God created, everything that He made, none of it's as important as you are. God made man after His own image. He breathed the breath of life in him after He formed him from the dust of the ground. God was displeased when Cain took his brother's life. He put a curse on Cain. If you take your own life, you're going to have that same curse. Suicide is sin. Whoever sheds man's blood, by his blood shall be, by man's blood he shall be shed. His blood shall be shed by man's hand. Because you were made in the image of God. And let me explain something too, that word murder. We're looking at that in the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 20 and in verse 3 when we read those words, thou shalt not murder. The old King James translated that, thou shalt not kill. There is a vast difference between murder and kill. Rashak is the Hebrew word for murder, and that means exactly what we've been studying. It means to take a life. Without a cause. The Hebrew word for killing is ha-rog. And that means to kill. Numbers chapter 13, verse 17, people were commanded to kill. The government has the right to. Soldiers have the right to. Killing is not the problem. Murder is the problem. All right, this principle, it applies to us today. Whether the murderer is somebody else or whether the murderer is yourself. Proverbs 16, verse 7, the Hebrew writer says, of these six things God hates, even seven are an abomination unto Him. He says, taking the blood of an innocent life. That's murder. God hates that. Now, you reason that out. If God hates taking innocent blood, shedding innocent blood, what does He think about you killing yourself? Everything God created. Surely you have things turned around that Isaiah wrote. Shall the potter be esteemed as the clay? For shall the thing made say of him who made it, he did not make me? Or shall the thing formed say to him who formed it, he has no understanding? Are we going to turn to God and say, you don't understand my grief? You don't understand my sorrow? You don't understand my position? And tell him that you just don't understand. It's okay if I take my own life. It's okay if I self-murder. Our Creator, does He not have the right to instruct us on how to live and how to take care of this temple that He gave us, this body? Certainly He does. The one thing that that created, we can't say to God, I'm worthless. Isaiah chapter 29 verse 6, we just read that, 29 verse 16. We can't tell God that we're worthless. My mother died of cancer. And her death was long and agonizing and painful. She asked for medication that would help relieve the pain, but she got to the point where her fingers were drawn up tight, her muscles seemed to be gone, just skin and bones, her face was drawn in, her mouth, her face, almost unrecognizable, Mom. And all of that agony. And she told me she hurt. But in all that agony, not one time did my mother say, kill me. I can't handle this. And she suffered. She was a member of the church. She understood beyond the cross. She understood beyond death. She understood this life is but a vapor. There's something on the other side. My father was not a Christian. My father took his own life. Even before the pain started. Because he was afraid of the pain. I understand. And I still tell you, suicide is a sin. Suicide stems from a lack of self-esteem. I know that because I had no self-esteem. I had no worth. But you know what God said? You're worth more. He says, when I consider the all of creation, the sun and the moon, you think about the stars and everything that's made on this planet. Why are you mindful of us, God? Because you mean more to God than all the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth. In the end, Jesus is coming back for you, not for this earth. The earth is going to be utterly destroyed and burned up. That's what He says. How much are you worth? Romans 5 and 8. But God proves His love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 8:32, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, freely give us all things? Can you see how much you're worth? God gave His only Son. Are you convinced of your worth? Ephesians chapter 2 verses 4 through 7, Paul said, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, for by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. You understand your worth? You still not convinced? Hebrews chapter 2:9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because He suffered death, so that by the grace of God He might taste death forevermore. For you. Whether you're in Christ or not, He died for you. All these things happen for you. Are you not convinced? Behold, what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it didn't know Him. You know who will kill yourself? If you don't know Jesus. If you're not holding the hand of God. If you're not trusting Him in every way, what are you worth? Remember, love consists in this, not that we love God, that He loved us and sent His Son to be an atoning sacrifice. You're worth so much that God sent His own Son to be that sacrifice. For God so loved the world that whosoever, that's you, believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. When you understand your soul's worth, then you will be able to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you understand your soul's worth, then you will humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking to devour whom he may devour. What are you seeing there? What you're seeing is the devil wants you to die. Doesn't matter how. He wants you to die before you can repent, before you can be baptized, before you can be added to the body. And if you are added to the body, he wants you to stumble, feel miserable, have no self-worth, no self-esteem. Because if you die before you repent, you'll be lost in sin. And he knows that. Remember, God wants you to be exalted. The devil wants you to die. Unsaved. Is anything that the devil does good? Anything. Tell me. You know, in John chapter 3 and in verse 8, he who sins is the devil. And he sinned from the beginning. The purpose of the Son of God was to manifest himself and destroy the works of the devil. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 9, the great dragon was thrown down, and the ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. The devil is the deceiver, not God. John 8:44, you are of your father, the devil. Desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer. A murderer. That's his thing. Whether it's murdering you by another hand or you by yourself, he's a murderer. And he doesn't stand for the truth. Cast all your cares upon the Lord. He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Psalm 55 and verse 22. Cast them on Him. Proverbs 16 and verse 3. Commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Remember, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and though he falls, he will not be utterly cast down, for he is upheld by the hands of God. Psalm 37, 23 and 24. If your mind is focused upon God, if you're meditating day and night upon His Word, you're going to be like that tree planted along the rivers of water. You're going to prosper and your leaves will not wither. Psalm chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Remember Jesus? Two sparrows are sold for a copper coin. Not one of them falls to the ground without God knowing it. How much more than a sparrow are you worth? And let's not forget the Apostle Paul, who said you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. Suicide self-control is a problem. Paul said, I discipline my body. I bring it under subjection. All the things of the body refer in this case to the trials of the flesh. And Paul beats on himself, literally. And notice, discipline my body, bringing it. This means that he takes control through the power of God. There are many who lack self-control. Peter said that we are to have knowledge and add to that knowledge self-control. We're to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Self-control. Think of Samuel. He committed suicide. All the terrible things that happened to Samuel when you think the Philistines came over, everything that he has being destroyed, he's being defeated, a lot of pride being thrown out the window. And then he's hurt, and he wants his servant to kill him. He wants his servant to commit murder because he doesn't want to fall into the hands of his enemies because he knows what they're going to do. And his servant wouldn't do it. He was afraid. What did Saul? Saul fell on his own sword. Self-murder. Suicide. You think that was pleasing to God? No. And then turned around that the servant did the same thing. You think about the book of Acts, the Philippian jailer, and we mentioned that earlier. Paul and Silas. He says, do yourself no harm. And then he turned right around and taught him about Jesus. He taught him about Jesus. He turned the man's despair into joy. We know all about that. He gave him a reason for living. We need to know that our worth as a Christian, Eusebius, he was a historian back around 290 to 300 AD, he wrote that he described three men in Caesarea who watched other Christians winning the crown of martyrdom. You know how they did that? They were in the arena. They were being murdered and slaughtered. And these Christians saw what was going on to their brethren, and they turned to the governor and they said that these six men decided to demand that the governor just kill them. And you know what the governor said? You wretches, if you want to die, you have cliffs to leap from and ropes to hang by. They weren't afraid of death because they were looking on the other side of the cross. Three quick things. First, don't try to run away from life's problems. Remember Paul, three times I was beaten, 1 Corinthians 11:25, rods, stones, shipwreck, day and the night in the deep. 2 Corinthians 12:8, Paul said, concerning these things I pleaded with the Lord three times that I might depart from me. Everybody faces problems. The apostles faced problems. And when we think about the context, the thorn in the flesh, remember what he said, at least I should be exalted above measure. God said, my grace is sufficient for you. And Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. Listen to these things. You're not alone. Elisha was not alone. He's worried about being murdered by Jezebel, being chased. He wanders off into the wilderness. He lays down under a terebinth tree and he prays to God, let me die. Let me die. Take my life, he says. It's over. Take my life. But God showed him that he wasn't alone. And he took him up on that mountain. He was in the cave and he opened it up. The winds blew. God wasn't in the rocks. Everything. God showed him his power and he says, you're not alone. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal and every mouth that has not kissed him. He wasn't alone. It would have been so much easier though to die. So much easier. People faced scourgings, chains, imprisonment, stone, sawn in two, tempted and were slain by the sword. Paul beheaded, Peter crucified, Andrew crucified, Thomas pierced through, Philip cruelly put to death, Matthew stabbed to death, Bartholomew skinned alive. Think about these. They all died terrible deaths. Why didn't they just commit suicide? Secondly, don't worry about things that go beyond your control because you're not alone. Your Heavenly Father knows the things you need and He will provide them. And listen, I know, okay, preacher, you got to bring this to an end, No temptation has ever taken you except such which is common to man, but God is faithful who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. You're trusting God today? Are you trusting God? Are you ceasing, casting all your cares upon Him? Are you walking in the light? Are you seeking Him diligently? God will take care of you. And why do I know this? Remember the song, "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow." You don't know God? You haven't been baptized? You haven't obeyed the gospel? You're not a member of the body of Christ? God is not a part of your life? Be afraid. Be afraid for the sword for yourselves. Because God's going to bring punishment. Be afraid. Worry doesn't do anything. Paul knew all the sorrows and troubles, but he learned in whatever state he was in to be content. Know that you have value, you have talent, your soul is immortal. When that lawyer came to Jesus, and which is the greatest commandment, and Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." You know what? If you're loving God that way, you don't have time for suicide. And He will lift you up. He will raise you up. Third and final, be busy. Busy in the Lord. Busy in your study. Busy in the work of the church. Doing the things that are needful in your community and in your family. Because when you're busy, you'll be eating bread with gladness. You have a merry heart. Drink your wine with a merry heart. Whatever your hand finds to do, Solomon says, do it with all your might, for there's no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you're going. If you're not in the Lord, be afraid, because you're going to the grave. If you are in the Lord, work, work, work. Keep yourself busy in the Lord. Every day. 5 times a day. God doesn't want us to ever lose hope. Psalm 16 and 9. Therefore my heart is glad, the psalmist said. He says, and my glory rejoices. My flesh will also rest in hope. Why? Because he's looking to God. He's looking on the other side. He's casting his cares upon the Lord. Whoever calls upon the Lord shall be saved, Joel said in Acts chapter 2, verse 21, repeated by Peter. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in rivalry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. What is God's purpose? God wants you to live for Him. Things in this life don't matter. What matters is eternity. I want to close with 8 quick things that Jesus could have avoided suicide by. He was betrayed. He could have committed suicide because so many betrayed Him. He was abandoned by most of His followers, even His family. He carried the burdens of the sin of the world. He was rejected by men. He was mocked and abused and beaten. He was pierced with a spear, crucified, and He died. He knew He was going to face all these things. It would have been a lot easier just to die and have it over. Suicide is not the answer. Jesus Christ is. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I thank you for your kind attention. I'm a little bit passionate about this because I know firsthand what suicide or the thoughts can do. But I will tell you today, as before we leave, that suicide is something that you can commit spiritually. When you decide not to obey the commandments of Jesus Christ, you're in a position where you're committing spiritual suicide. And you'll be separated from God for eternity if you do. Jesus made it simple. Believe and be baptized, He said. You can do that today. And if you have need, please come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.